after 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and it seems like the morning will be mostly sunny with a high near 86. Precipitation amounts is about 30%. Wednesday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 61, and there's a 40% chance of precipitation. Thursday, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 72. Is a 50% chance of precipitation, and Thursday night is also a 50% chance of precipitation before 2 a.m. with the showers. Friday, be mostly cloudy with a high near 69, partly cloudy at night with a low around 43, and Saturday will be high near 66 and mostly sunny. And that's good news because it's about the only sunny one all week. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff, no office. We work out of our houses. And someone once told me that the commute from the kitchen to the family room is great because there's no traffic. But what we try to do is we try to help people who have a mental health issue get the services that they need to go on with their lives. We also try to help families who have someone in their family who has a mental health issue, or they know someone, work with someone, or are friends with someone. And we try to do this in different ways. One of the ways we do it is we have what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course. Everything is free. You don't have to pay for anything. All the equipment and everything is that we give you is free. And it goes over medications and the side effects and what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain circumstances. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have a support group the third Thursday of every month. Again, you do not have to be a member of NAMI to either take the class or to come to the support group. The support group is at the third Thursday, like I said, of every month, and it's held at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it's from 7 to approximately 8:30, sometimes 9 o'clock. You don't have to register for the support group. You can just come. The class, if you wanted to take the 12-week family-to-family class, you do have to register. You can call us at, if you have any questions or anything like that, at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. And we don't have someone man the phone 24/7, but we do check it at least once a day, and we promise you we will get back to you within a reasonable amount of time. We are very privileged today to have with us Elaine Birchall. And Elaine has an MSW, which is a master's in social work, and she's the author of the book Conquer the Clutter. Elaine is the director of Birchall Consulting, which is dedicated to helping those with hoarding disorders. Elaine is also the founder of the Canadian National Hoarding Coalition and also hosts a radio show, Take Back Your Life When Things Are Taken Over. Elaine, I appreciate you coming on because I know you have a very busy schedule.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you, it's great because, you know, this show tries to get all types of different things out to the public. And this is another thing that we'd like to, you know, enlighten the public on. Now, but I have to ask you, how'd you get into this type of work?
Well, I'm a social worker with public health. I was the one lone worker with Ottawa Health, and we kept having. And understood completely what we were seeing or how to help. And so they asked me if I would develop a workshop. And so I started to do that. And as I, in preparation, I was doing, you know, online research and that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I've seen this, but I've called it poverty, or I've called it disability, or I've called it something else. And really, it's more than that. So I ran the workshop. I developed the workshop. We brought somebody in to do it. And As I listened, I thought, wow, this is work that it really makes a difference, how well you do it with each individual person. And the path, their path into this chaos is unique to each one of them. So it's not a formula. It's not a protocol you apply. There's no how-to list. And I love that about it. And so I was bitten by the bug, and when I had a decision to make, I decided to go into private practice, and I haven't looked back since.
Well, that's great. My story was a little different. I was in a company, and they were bought out by another company, and they downsized all the previous employees like me and brought their own employees in. So I'm out in my backyard splitting firewood one day, and I'm very angry. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, Cartwright, you've got 4 kids, a mortgage, car payments, insurance. Got to put food on the table. You better get yourself out there and get a job. So I did, and I liked it. It was very interesting. I worked for Wonder Bread and Hostess Cake for quite a while.
Lovely.
It was interesting. I was in charge of the tractor-trailer drivers in about 4 different states. And at that time, everything was handwritten, their logs and everything. Now it's all electronic, but then it was all handwritten. So if we had a state inspection, say in Maine, I would have to go up there and make sure everything was in order before they inspected. But anyway, that's another story. I have to ask, I'm going to ask you what the definition of hoarding is, but I'd really like to know what the difference between clutter and hoarding is. I mean, you can do the definition of hoarding first if you like, and then we can go to what's the difference between the two.
About what the difference between hoarding and cluttering is first, because that's a little easier.
Okay.
So the first thing to know is that those who have clutter, who would say that they clutter, generally have less accumulation, and at the point when it's clutter, and I'm phrasing that carefully, they have easier time of making decisions that resolve it. However, and they don't, not everybody who has clutter is going to come to hoard. However, every single person over the last 18 years, Larry, who has gone on hoard and has ended up in with piles and pathways and chaos, and being completely overwhelmed, every single person has said they started out with clutter. So, could it really be for many people, not everyone, but many people, a stage, and then they become maybe increasingly overwhelmed. They don't get back on track to the same extent, even though maybe professionally they look like they have everything going for them. There's something that is overwhelming them, something that is causing them to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen publicly or that can happen privately. And they end up creating a hoard. And the thing about that, Larry, is that once that starts, it is a compulsive disorder.
Right.
When you're in it that badly, it's a compulsive disorder. There is no off switch. It will continue until your health and safety, given enough time, and the health and safety of others, anybody who lives in close proximity to you, including your pets, is put at risk.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's ironic because I know someone who has gone to our support groups and stuff, has a daughter who lives in a separate apartment, doesn't live with her, you know, parent. And she's a hoarder, the daughter. And the mother says, when you go into the apartment, it's like you have to walk through these valleys.
Yeah.
because everything is just piled so high, it's almost up to the ceiling.
Yes.
And I never could quite comprehend that until I got your book and everything, you know. you know, it's...
People have relationships with things.
I'm sorry?
People have relationships with things.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how well we are able to manage our physical health and balance our mental health, that can impact the importance we give items, things, possessions, stuff.
Right.
And then at a certain point, it is a tipping point where we've lost track of what's important and what's not important. Everything feels important.
Right, right. It's just, you know, do you find that the more you look into someone with this hoarding, that in some cases there's a mental health issue along with it?
Oh, yes, yes. Certainly by the time I'm asked to help somebody, they are usually well along that path, and they are, the word I hear the most, Larry, is overwhelmed. And, of course, when you're overwhelmed, and they're also usually ashamed,
right.
And fearful,
okay.
Fearful of discovery. And the thing about being overwhelmed that people sometimes don't realize is there's no shame to that.
Right.
Every person alive, if they become overwhelmed enough, that part of your brain we call the executive function, it doesn't work that well.
Right.
You can't make decisions or take step-by-step action in order to resolve it. And that's not your failure. That is simply the state you're at. And you need help to take a few steps back to get to where you're more in control of making decisions.
You know, it's ironic because when I give presentations, a lot of times I'll say, there's not a person in this audience who at one point has not been depressed over something, cracked up your new car, broke up with your girlfriend, you know, whatever. But the definition between mental illness depression and the average person's depression is the length of time that you're depressed.
And the hold that gets on you, yeah.
I'm sorry?
And the hold that gets on you.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, and this is basically the same thing. We all are overwhelmed at one point or another in our lives, you know. And it's just interesting to me. It's not, you know, it just falls into a category, you know. And... You know, some people take it as, you know, clutter or hoarding, and others do it other ways, you know.
Lots of things in life to get stuck, Larry, and this is one of them.
Right, right. What, you know, how widespread is hoarding?
Oh, so hoarding is very conservatively, we can prove 6%. So, what is that with the American population? I know in Canada, it's more than 2.5 million people, and the population of the United States is much here. What would that be? And those are people who meet the criteria. Those aren't people who are on a path.
Right.
Those are people who actually meet the criteria.
Right. What is adaptive hoarding as opposed to compulsive hoarding?
So there are types, and I hear this when I get questions like, my mother or my grandmother went through the depression, and they were in a state of deprivation, and now they hold on to everything. Does that cause hoarding? And you're now the adult child of somebody or the grandchild of somebody. Does that have an impact? Well, billions of people went through the depression and bored. They made poor adaptive, which means that, yes, they get a big supply ahead of time, but nothing goes to waste. It's all used by fiery dates. So they're not firing and then finding that they believe they have a score and that they're safe. They actually have a score. Most of them will probably contaminated or has gone off. But they're still holding on to the fact that they're ready to have a setback. That would be maladaptive hoarding, up to the point where it's used by its fiery date to do by it. That's adaptive hoarding.
That's very interesting. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, so stay tuned.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Elaine Birchall, who has a MSW, which is Master's in Social Work, and is the author of the book Conquer the Clutter. Now, we've been talking about clutter and hoarding. They, I understand from some of the things you sent me that there's 5 red flags for hoarding. Elaine, could you briefly talk about those?
Yes, absolutely. So those red flags are listed on a quiz that people may want to take by going on my website, hoarding.ca. Just let me go over a few of them, actually. So the first is to rate yourself on the using the rating scale that's on the website. But the questions I want you to ask yourself are these. Because of the number of possessions you have, how difficult is it for you to use the rooms, any of the rooms in your home? Now, hoarding can also happen in your car, at your place of work. It can happen on your computer where you're overloading it with storage of documents. Hoarding can happen anywhere. Anything you can imagine can and is hoarded. Second question. How upsetting is it for you to have your home in its current condition? Are you afraid of discovery? Are you feeling badly because others have made comments? The third question is, how upsetting or concerning is it for others to have the home in its current condition? Are you taking criticism from people? Is it causing conflict? Are you feeling pressed by others to meet a standard that you just don't feel up to? Fourth question, have other people or agencies tried to intervene to offer you help to tidy up because of the clutter? Fifth question, how difficult or distressing is it for you to get rid of things? That's not necessarily throwing them out and wasting them, just to part with them. And the sixth and kind of clincher is, how often have you spent money you don't really have because you saw something and you just had to have it? Or you can ask that question a little differently. Maybe you're not a spender. How often have you picked something up, things up, that were just too good to miss? You didn't really need them, but they sure were too good to go to waste or to take the chance that they would be wasted. Any of those questions, and depending on how many of those you tick the box beside, those are indicators because they're tied to the three criteria for something to be a hoarding situation.
Mm. You know, it's like, I'm sure that there's ways that, you know, hoarding with some people is not harmful, I would assume. But in a lot of cases, it can be harmful. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Well, I don't mean to correct you, but I wouldn't say that hoarding isn't harmful, because by the time you're starting to actually be in the range, even a level one or two, depending on the reasons why that buildup is happening, that's why we wrote this book, is for people who don't have services in their area where they can get the help for early intervention, or just go to have somebody to talk to just to check in, or they couldn't afford those services even if they were available.
Right.
The reasons why that buildup is happening, if it is the early stage of hoarding, even before you labeled it, Larry, it's a compulsive behavior, and it is going to continue. Given enough time, it's going to continue until it becomes a personal health and safety hazard.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Can I tell you what those criteria are?
Sure.
Okay. So the Diagnostic Manual of Mental Health Disorders, like 3.5 pages for the definition. But when you boil it all down, it boils down to three criteria. So anytime you're wondering whether is this hoarding that somebody or myself is doing, go back to the criteria. The first is, there must be what most people would describe as an excessive accumulation, and I say a failure to resolve it proportionately. That is not an easy answer. There's no sort of formula like one thing in, one thing out. If you're able to one thing in and one thing out yourself out of clutter, at this point, maybe forever, you don't have the problem. But if you're not, it's that you've lost that fundamental check and balance system where you're aware of the buildup. The second criteria is that some or all of the living spaces can't be used for their intended purpose. You can still cook, but maybe you're doing it outside on the barbecue exclusively because you can't get to the stove. Or maybe you're bathing and showering at the gym, if you go to the gym, because your bathroom and your bathtub, you know, you're storing things in it, you really don't have good access. Maybe the toilet still works, but you have to run downstairs and get a pail of water and flush it with that. So you're still living in the environment, but you're making all kinds of adjustments. third criteria, distress or impairment in functioning. Impairment in functioning is different, Larry, from adaptation. Those adjustments are that you may be stepping over things. So every time you step over something or you walk on newspapers or magazines or clothes, that is a tripping hazard waiting to happen. And even if the distress isn't active, so you're not particularly distressed, or maybe you're the only one who is, nobody else has said anything, if other people who had a reason to know about your home, the condition of it, would have cause to be concerned, they would be concerned about it. So that's your neighbors who don't know that they're living at a higher risk. The fire department, property standards if you live in a multi-unit dwelling, children's services if you have little ones, animal control if you've got pets, elder services if you have elderly family members living with you. They would have cause to be concerned. It's just they don't know the truth about the property, the condition of the property. That box still gets ticked, all right? And that is really important because it's easy to lose your way and not be able to figure out where on that continuum you are. So always go back to the three criteria. And if you can tick each of those boxes, even to a minimal degree, you're on a path, Larry, you don't want to be on.
Right. You know, I would think that a fire could be disastrous. Not that the other things aren't, because they are also, but it just seems to me that if you're that, like this lady I mentioned earlier, her daughter, if she had a fire, wow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an apartment building, so it's not necessarily only her place, you know?
You're right.
It could be the whole apartment building going up.
Absolutely. Could be, and some people higher up, you know, in the building may not get out because the elevators are disabled.
Yep.
And you don't even have to be the cause of the fire.
No, right.
That's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be your fault.
No.
Your neighbor could have a kitchen fire.
Exactly.
And the more stuff you have, it's more usual that the accumulation is made up first and foremost of combustible materials. So what that means is that, you know, nobody wants to shame anybody or blame anybody or make them feel badly. It's just if we could give people a bit of a wake-up call,
right,
that they get the help they need. If it's starting with a book, then get the book. If you can't afford the book, we have a contest going on right now on my website, hoarding.ca, where the first 50 people to sign up are going to get a free e-copy of the book, and absolutely free. All we ask is that once you've had a chance to look at the book or read it, would you be kind enough to go on Amazon.com and fill out a review? That's all we ask. But the book is absolutely free. And we did that because Sue and I are really committed to the purpose we wrote this book for.
Right.
And that was for individuals who realize or are beginning to realize they're stuck, for people who care about them, family, friends, neighbors, and professionals who discover inadvertently that they've got somebody who has an excessive accumulation and is stuck living in a hoarded environment. If those services aren't available, we don't want them to be without resources. This book has been designed to be the gap filler. It is not another theoretical protocol, how-to book. This is a book that helps you coach yourself, respect yourself, support yourself, and coach yourself out of this state of being overwhelmed. And that's why we wrote this book. The other thing I wanted to say is that you can get the book if you're interested by going on the Johns Hopkins website, and you can get it on Amazon.com. I understand you can also get it at Barnes & Noble if you're not an online kind of person.
Okay, and we'll come back to the website for the first, what'd you say, 50 people, right?
That's right.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a second so you can give it again. What is, okay, if I suspect I'm a hoarder,
right,
what step should I take to get help?
So the first thing that I ask, overcoming a hoarding situation, even if it's only a mild one, Larry, is not an easy thing, all right?
Right.
So I would ask you, go on my website and take the quiz. There's a quiz called Are You a Hoarder in the Making? All right? Those six questions that I just read, they're on that quiz.
Okay.
But also scale, how to rate where on the continuum of risk you are. And in doing that, you're going to have a much clearer idea of how much time you really have before this goes to an out-of-control situation. All right? So that may give you that kind of wake-up call you need. The first thing I want you to know is that nobody ever accomplished anything by feeling less about themselves. So from the moment you go on the website and get that information, there needs to be a stop in you shaming and blaming yourself. Learn about your disorder. Learn about this problem, this hoarding. And if it fits for you, own it unapologetically. People do even the things that are not in their best interest for good reasons. And if you're doing it, you have a good reason. So no more shame and blame. This is not going to be an overnight activity, turning this around. So what I want you to do is to fill your cup and start reclaiming your self-respect and your self-esteem. I want you to sit down, and the very first thing I want you to do is make a list, if you can, of your strengths and achievements, even if they're in the past. If you can't come up with any because you're so overwhelmed, ask the person you love and trust the most. What are your strengths? What are your achievements? And I want you to post that someplace that you have to look at that first thing every day before you get going on trying to do something about it. The next thing I want you to do is just try these few things first, all right? Three sayings I want you to try to live by for no more than a month. If they work for you, great. If they don't work well enough for you, then I want you to remember what I'm about to say. You need to take the next step and find some help to help you undo this situation. The first thing is, say to yourself, don't put it down, put it away. And the reason I say that is because if you just put something down, you've just given yourself four more jobs. You have to remember. You have to go back and pick it up anyway. You have to try to figure out what you were doing with it and where it goes. And then you have to go and put it away anyway. Cut yourself some slack. Don't put it down. Put it away.
Right.
Second thing, there is no just for now. All right? Just for now. I'm going to put it down. I'm going to keep it just for now. That just for now is kind of the short form of procrastination, all right? And we have a whole chapter in our book about procrastination. We have some worksheets in there to help you figure out why you're procrastinating. And I want to give a plug for Dr. Jane Burka and Dr. Lenora Ewan. They were so generous in letting us use material from their excellent book, Procrastination, why you do it and how you can stop now. Mm-hmm. They even let us use the material to develop those worksheets. And they've sold more than 100,000 copies. They didn't need our support. It was just professional courtesy and the kindness of their heart in wanting to help people. The third thing is just do it now. Whatever it is, just do it now. It never gets easier. Now, these three sayings, Larry, you're not saying that to yourself because you hoard. Everybody needs to be saying this to themselves. That last one, just do it now, it never gets easier. I have to say that to myself 25 times a day, and I don't hoard.
I know the feeling.
This is just part of being a little more on track and ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know exactly what you're saying. It's, you know, it's not, you know, it's everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just, you know, clutterers or hoarders. It's the human race. That's the way it is sometimes, you know.
That's absolutely true.
You know.
Absolutely true.
We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple seconds.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged today to have with us Elaine Birchall. And we've been talking about hoarding and compulsive hoarding and how to, you know, if you think you're a hoarder, what step you should take to help yourself. And now my question then real quickly, and you don't have to go into a link because I have a couple I want to get to before the end of the show. If someone comes to you for help, Elaine, what is the procedure that you do to determine how serious that person's illness is?
Well, we do a 3-part assessment. That's the first thing I do. I want to know very clearly who the person is, what their values, their fears, their beliefs are, what their goal, what their vision is, so that we can form better goals. I also do a history because there are 3 paths. If you break everything down, there are 3 paths to hoarding developing. The first is genetic. There are 4 chromosomes that we know have markers in common in some types of hoarding. And also, we know that anywhere, depending on which research you listen to, 50 to 84% of individuals who hoard
have a first-degree family relative awards, mother, father, sister, brother, and then the power of modeling behavior in growing up in a hoarded environment. That's very powerful. The second path is, if you're one of the unlucky people and you happen to have one or more what we call comorbid factors, those are just $5 words for other physical or mental health vulnerabilities, you are at increased risk of also developing, in addition, a whole new disorder. That's hoarding. The third path is you're one of the many, many people who is sort of chronically disorganized, not the most organized person in the world, and you don't have to be the worst either. And then something happens, Larry, either one big event or a series of smaller events, but in a compressed time frame so that you don't have time to get yourself back on your feet mentally and physically. You become, and that path, I believe, most people are vulnerable to. That's the scary one, because it can, I believe that can happen to almost everyone. So those three paths, I want to know how many loading factors you have, because that's going to tell me how steep the incline is for you to think differently and to engage. And I want, in the work I do with my clients, I honor their values, their preferences, unless the item is irretrievably contaminated and represents a danger. So I want to honor the person and respect who they are and what they believe in. And I also want to understand what the pace may need to be so that we don't burn the person out because they're so motivated and they're so enthusiastic and they burn out and then they can't face going back to the tangible work that we're going to do together. It really, truly is. Unless your situation, let's back up a tiny bit, unless your situation is an immediate threat to life or security, it really, truly is the 15, 20 minutes that you do every single day that is going to get you where you need to be and keep you there. So I start off with a really good three-part assessment. And then when we move on from there, Larry, one of the first things I want to do with the person is help them understand how not abnormal they are.
Right.
All right? So that they can reclaim their self-respect and self-esteem, because these folks have had more than enough judgment. Sometimes it's self-judgment by watching the TV shows and just the fear, too, of being discovered if they live in a multi-unit dwelling and being evicted. I can't tell you how many clients have told me they every day they're looking out their window seeing whether the maintenance truck
right.
has pulled into the parking lot, and are they going to get one of those white notes in their door saying that the landlord needs entry. People live in fear of that.
Sure. I have to ask, looking through your book and such, what is Diogenes syndrome? I didn't think I said it right. What is it?
Diogenes syndrome.
Okay. What is that?
So can I tell you the five types? Because Diogenes is one of them.
Well, so we've got about, say, maybe 8 minutes left, so whatever you'd like to do.
This is going to take me probably a minute and a half. So I have three subtypes of standardized hoarding. I call it standardized hoarding because it meets the standard, and I want people to go back to the criteria before they decide it and mislabel it. The first is indiscriminate hoarding, and that is everything possible is kept, and the hallmark of that is clutter and chaos. Then the next is discriminate hoarding. These individuals have a lot of things, far more than is wise, but they usually belong to one or very few categories of things. The next is combination. It still falls under standardized. That's when this discriminant hoarding has gotten out of hand, and now the buildup of day-to-day refuse is built up around it, and they can't. It's just chaos. Diogenes is the next. Diogenes is hallmarked by abject self-neglect and squalor, even when money is not an issue. And we generally find it in our senior population, but we're only finding it then, Larry. It has been going on for quite a while, and it is unbelievable self-neglect and squalor. The fifth type is animal hoarding, and that is very complex. There are some theories say that there are five different subtypes of animal hoarding. But Diogenes is very sad because this is our elder population, and they've fallen between the cracks, and they've been doing this, living in these conditions for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it is. It's a shame, you know.
Well, it affects their mental health.
Right, right. Sure. I understand that, again, from your book and everything, that online shopping is a big...
Oh, my goodness, yes.
...is a big, for lack of a better word, curse to people.
That's a good word for it.
You know, and what is your conscious acquiring process for combating online shopping addiction?
So before you take action, I believe you need to take a step back.
Okay.
And you need to understand what's happening and what you're responding to. I have had people who have a double garage full of online shopping boxes unopened.
Mm-hmm.
And so the power of online, just in simple terms, the power of online shopping as forming this compulsion and feeding it, really feeding it, is the immediate gratification. Depends on why you're doing it. If you're staying up late at night and you're online and, you know, you're depressed or you're lonely or you just need a pick-me-up, all right, that's one way. When those boxes arrive the next day, because you're going to get this immediate payoff within 24 hours quite often.
Right.
You don't even have to wait for that, the hormonal response of ordering this stuff and looking forward to it to, you know, get through your system, and the box is at your door. That is very powerful. That's like being at a slot machine, you know, and getting the cadence of the operation of the slot machine feeds that excitement response. And so that's one way. So this then sometimes can end up with just the pleasure of something arriving the next day to break down the boredom or the lethargy or the depression.
Right.
But sometimes, too, it's the pleasure of the thing. But when you're ordering them at that rate, it isn't for the use of it, the sustained use of it generally. It's that you're looking for an answer in your life, and you need answers to problems or answers to your inability to regulate your mood and feel good, even passably good. And you're using this purchasing as a way to give yourself a little pick-me-up. We all need pick-me-ups. This is the wrong way to do it, though.
Right.
I have had some professionals bankrupt themselves with this need for instant gratification and pick-me-ups. So we have a very extensive section in the book about online shopping.
In the last 2 minutes or so that we have, if someone wanted to reach out to you, Is there a phone or a website or a Facebook page that they could reach out and get some information?
All of the above.
Okay.
There is a Birchall Consulting Facebook page. There is a website, hoarding.ca, and I do international counseling.
Okay.
By distance, by Skype, by Zoom, by Duo, by Facebook, by, iPhone, FaceTime, just plain telephone. I have clients in Hong Kong. I've got clients in Europe.
Wow.
So that doesn't have to be an issue. And usually, if you have extended health coverage, usually with a doctor's referral and a receipt, my counseling services can be reimbursed by your extended health care provider.
Okay.
And I'm happy to hear from them anyway. Send me an email on elaine.birchall@hoarding.ca. Even if you just have questions, I'm happy to respond to those. We really want to get help out to those people who don't have enough to get it and or can't afford it, even if it is available.
Right. Could you give, when you were going to give the first 50 people books, could you give that again?
Yep. So if you go to hoarding.ca, the navigation bar has a tab called Books. Hit the Book tab. It opens up a new page, and you can sign up. And the first 50 people to sign up are going to get a free ebook, PDF copy of the book. You'll be given a link to go to a Dropbox. It sounds very complicated. It isn't. You're going to be walked through those instructions, how to do that if you're not very tech savvy. You go to the link, you open it up, you hit download, and it comes to whatever device you want.
I can't thank you enough for coming on, Elaine.
Oh, Larry, thank you for inviting me. It's a real opportunity.
I will reach out to you again and have you back on again.
I'd love to.
It's, you know, because I have some questions I never got to ask because of the time, you know. But
I'm your girl.
Yeah. But I'm so happy, you know, that you came on. And the name of the book is Conquer the Clutter. And remember, folks, we'll be here next week, same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
An Army general is now officially the highest-ranking military officer. Mark Milley was sworn in on Monday morning as the 20th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. During the ceremony in Virginia, the president says, "You're my friend, you're my advisor, and you deserve this position." The GM strike is in its 15th day. Some 40,000 auto workers are continuing to picket at GM facilities nationwide.
We all got families. You know, we're making a sacrifice.
Sometimes it takes a while. It's nothing's going to happen in a hurry because they're going after some big stuff.
Those UAW workers picketing outside a GM plant in Warren, Michigan. GM and the United Auto Workers Union will be at the bargaining table in Detroit on Monday. And New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer is once again calling on Congress and the White House to pass legislation on a universal background check. Schumer is renewing his call the day after the president met with the NRA. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents... Doug.
Yoto, my office, now!
Limu Imu, Doug, you're being transferred across town.
Oh, because they haven't heard that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
No, it's because Limu keeps eating the chips on Janine's desk. And her keyboard, and her expense reports, and her stress balls, and her...
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
New sanctions have been placed on Russia for meddling in our elections. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the latest.
This time it's concerning Russian interference in the 2018 midterm elections. A statement from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying that four Russian entities and seven individuals are being targeted, including a Russian oligarch. Pompeo noting that the U.S., quote, will not tolerate foreign interference in elections. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Florida law enforcement agencies are coming together with research and medical experts to discuss the problem of human trafficking. Attorney General Ashley Moody fears upcoming Super Bowls and WrestleMania could make things even worse.
And as fun and as well attended and as exciting as these events are, they also attract those that want to traffic other human beings and profit from their services.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Friends, the radio listener special is still going on at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one MyPillow premium pillows. Savings on Giza Dreams bed sheets, mattress toppers, go anywhere MyPillows. And, of course, body pillows. If you're a side sleeper, you need that. If you've got a dog you love, they have great dog beds. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175 8175 or go to MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Texas Republican Congressman Mac Thornberry will not seek re-election in 2020. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise says Thornberry helped strengthen the military.
He had served as chairman of the Armed Services Committee, helped us rebuild our military, working with President Trump to really establish a stronger national defense.
Scalise also tells Fox News he knew that Representative Thornberry would not seek re-election.
He's been a great leader. Everybody for the last few months expected that this might be the case.
Turning now to entertainment news, USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the top movies over the weekend.
The new film from DreamWorks, Abominable, is tops at the box office this weekend with nearly $21 million in ticket sales. It's about a teenager in Shanghai who discovers a lost Yeti on the roof of her apartment building.
I don't know where you came from.
Hooray!
He escaped.
I want my Yeti back.
She and her friends crossed China to return the creature back home to the Himalayas. Downton Abbey came in second with $14 million, and the Jennifer Lopez movie called Hustlers came in third with $11 million.
And finally, CVS is the latest pharmacy to pull a popular heartburn drug off the shelves. Tests show Zantac and its generic versions may have the chemical link to cancer. The FDA isn't telling people to stop taking the drug yet, but they can be returned for a refund. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
When it comes to defending America, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must